Bless your friend. Go for it, man. Come on, praise God. Oh, I don't get a welcome pack. That's sad. I was going to take that with me. Are you well? Okay, three of you are well. It's been a rough 2 years, hasn't it? I'm excited this morning to speak on a sermon called Palaszczuk, Vaccines and COVID. I'm just kidding. Some of you are already upset. That's all right. Hey, come on, are you well this morning? You well in the house? Come on, I believe this guy's well. Look at him. He's reclining in the house of the Lord. That's good, bro. It says in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down. It's good. And I think this is getting me pumped, just seeing you as a church. And there's so many churches in Brisbane that have been doing it pretty tough, and you guys don't seem to be doing it tough. That being said, you haven't really had anything up here, have you? Yeah. I like call Kane. I'll be like, Kane, we've been locked down. I mean, it was for like 3 days. We've been locked down. And Kane was like, I'm going to Waterfall. So, you know, God's hand is on Mackay. Okay, and he's kept the scourge and the Egyptian plague from you. And let's believe long may it continue. But I better preach before I get in trouble. So my name's Fred. I am 29 years old. I don't know why that's pertinent. I'm from Kingdom Culture Church in Brisbane. Bring greetings from my senior pastors who are also my parents, Pastor Rob and Heather. Your church has a Pastor Rob. My church has a Pastor Rob. It's a good name. And they love you guys. And we're just excited. My wife sends her regards to Anna. I didn't actually bring a photo, but in typical pastor fashion, she is so far out of my league. But I got her because I serve the Lord. So if you're single in this place, start serving the Lord. It'll do well for you. And so we love each other very much. And we have a dog called Zane. So that's good. Pastor Rob and Denise, it is an honor to be here. I don't take it lightly. I know I've come a bit, and I don't feel like guest ministry. I feel like an awkward cousin, but it's just an honor being here, and I believe God's going to do something. You alive and well? Yes. You're looking pretty alive and well. I like to stir it up a little bit. I think church should be a place where we can be loud. Jacques said it well. For those of you that know me, you'll know that I've got a little man crush on Jacques, and notice he's got a little mustache, which is very nice, isn't it? All right, where is Jacques? I want to just see his beautiful face. It's not weird, I'm married, it's fine, but it's just, you know, bromance. And so, what are we talking about? I'm going to preach a message to you this morning, but I believe that even though a couple of churches in Brisbane are doing it tougher, don't buy into the rhetoric that the local church is dying and that it's not going well. I believe we are about to step into our greatest days as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because there's a, amen, but don't clap yet, because there's an uncomfortable truth. The church historically does much better in persecution than it does in wealth. And it's tough because I like comfort. I don't know about you, I enjoy comfort. I like it when everything's going well. My mum said to me the other day, she said, Fred, we're gonna see a revival. I said, yes, we are, mum. She's like, because the more persecuted we get, the more the left pushes this, that, and the other, the Church of Jesus is gonna rise. And I said, mum, I agree, but what if we just did well and nothing happened bad? That'd be good. But who knows, that the world, that Mackay, that Brisbane, that Queensland, that Australia needs a church that's on fire for God. Full of the Holy Ghost, ready, not turning up once every 6 or 7 weeks, in the house every week, raising kids in the house of God and believing for a move of God in our nation. Amen? So it's exciting. I want to preach to you a sermon called The Trouble with Tents. The Trouble with Tents. Really quickly, just across the crowd, who here enjoys camping? So I want to see your hands. Okay, fair amount. Who here does not enjoy camping? Okay. You're my people, okay? This is, to me, a camping pitch. Anna said to me last Christmas, she said, let's go camping. And I said, why? And she said, let's go, be out in nature, okay? And I said, just to be clear, darling, you want us to leave this air-conditioned house with my fridge full of food, my television, my toilet, my bed, and you want to go and hang out in a cloth house and lie on the ground and have to do your business under a tree. And she's like, it'll be romantic. I'm like, what part of me squatting under a tree is romantic? Okay, I don't wanna go camping in a tent. I wanna go camping at the Hilton, okay? So I don't like camping. I don't like setting up. I'm not very handy, okay? I'm a city boy. You know, if someone was like, make a fire, I'd be like, you make a fire. Like, I don't know how it works. So I don't like camping, but that's neither here nor there. But in the olden days, in biblical days, many people were nomadic, which means that they would move around in tents. The actual official word was a yurt. It's a fun word, isn't it? You go home, what did I learn today? I learned that Abraham lived in a yurt. So they used to live in tents. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture for you, and then we're going to get into the word of God, okay? It's in Genesis 15, and it says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. That's an encouraging word, isn't it? Someone just died in the back room. That's good. You fell over. But it's an encouraging word. Imagine if you were asleep tonight, okay? Let's picture it. You're in bed and you hear a noise. It's angel wings. And you wake up. And the angel of the Lord's there, and he's like, Barry, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I don't know about you, I'd be like, probably get on my knees, probably put a shirt on and, you know, just get presentable before the Lord. But this, check out what Abram says. Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing as I go childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, not one born in my house is my heir. So the word of God comes to Abram to bring encouragement. And Abram, come on, we can relate to this, goes, but you haven't given me this thing. That's so like us, right? No, just me. God's faithful in our lives and in our world. He's come through time and time again. He brings words of encouragement. And we're like, but you haven't done this thing. You know, if I can be honest with you, sometimes it's really hard. If I can be vulnerable in the house, you know, me and my wife have been trying for kids for 2 years and it hasn't happened yet, and we're believing and we know that it is going to happen by God's hand and by God's grace. But there is moments where you go, you there? Especially when, like, you're me and I, like, go and travel and I, like, lay hands on people. I'm not trying to sound like a legend. It just happens. And people, like, have kids. So I'm like, what? This thing's not working. Like, well, don't do it to me, I do it to Anna. Unfortunately, though, my temple has also expanded. But that is not because of pregnancy, it's because of Cinnabons. So, but we have moments, right, where we're like, God, where are you? And Abram's having a moment like that. Yeah, great God, you're going to bless me, you're my shield, but I have no one in my house that's going to be my heir. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one will not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Hello, somebody. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And so shall your descendants be. And this part's crucial. He believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. I think it's very interesting that the person that was going to be the father of nations was only holding on for one child. His promise was far-reaching. His prophetic word was long and intense. But he was going, just want one kid. That is so like so many believers today. You've been anointed, you've been appointed, you've been ordained as a prophet to the nations, but you're just holding out for one small thing. Friend, can I tell you, start dreaming again. Start believing again. It's nothing wrong with believing God for the next paycheck, but friend, it's much more than that. If we're living just paycheck to paycheck, blessing to blessing, then our region won't be changed. We need to start believing that when I'm preaching tonight on the pleroma, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in you. Whoa! I know it's a morning service, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in you and me. I don't know about you, that gets me excited and it freaks me out. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, do you, Lord? Do you reside in this temple? But he does. Anyway, that's tonight. Come back tonight. Hey, can I encourage you? Come back tonight. We're gonna have a bit of a Holy Ghost party. We're gonna talk about our identity in Christ. You don't always have night services. Come down. I won't preach for long. It's gonna be awesome. One more verse quickly before we pray. Psalm 147:4 says this. He counts the stars. He calls them all by name. He counts the stars, he calls them all by name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this Mackay Christian Family Church. I thank you, God, that in the few minutes we have left, you would stir faith in the room. You would bring people close. You would bring prodigals home, and you'd move powerfully by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I have a confession to make. I am not Australian. Okay? As you know, I have citizenship, like I belong here. But I was born in London. I was born in London. I'm English. Now, you might go, but you don't sound English. I know, it's very upsetting. I moved to Australia right before I went through puberty. Why is he talking about puberty? Because that's when I did a study on this, because I was quite upset. I felt quite gypped because I wanted an English accent, but I woke up at 13 and I was talking like this. And I was like, why do I have this nasally Australian accent? You know, and it's because, you know, wherever you go through puberty, that's usually what your accent is. You might go, why is he paying out Australian accents? Friend, our accents are ridiculous. Okay? Ridiculous. And they don't sound very spiritual. So, I'll prove it to you. So, in England, there's clergies and priests and ministers. And my dad always tells me a story. The first time he got filled with the Spirit, an Anglican clergy, interestingly enough, was up the front, and he stood up there and he said, thank you, God, that you're in this house today. Everyone in the place, lift your hands. Come, Holy Spirit. And the presence of God just descended. It's epic, right? It sounds good, okay? Pastor Reinhard Bonnke, South Africans have anointed preaching voices, okay? Okay? I tell you right now, God is going to manifest himself in this building. Like, he's just powerful. It really lends itself towards evangelists. And then Americans, it's just like listening to Vanilla Coke, okay? Friend, Jesus called you out of sin. He loves you. And then we've got our accent. Mate, God loves you. Okay, no, fair dinkum. He's gonna use you. He's gonna change you. So I feel ripped off, okay? Got this nasally nonsense. But anyway, so I was born in London. My biological mum gave birth to me when she was 16 years old. Is there anyone here that's 16? Maybe not, because it's the morning. So, bro, imagine giving birth to me. You know what I mean? I mean, you wouldn't, because you're a guy, you know, but crazy. And my biological dad, this is crazy. My biological dad was a devout Muslim. So this is funny. My name on my first birth certificate, because I was the firstborn male, was Muhammad. So somewhere in the world, my biological dad is probably watching YouTube clips of me, not happy. Anyway, it's fine. It's funny. Anyway, so my mum, she was amazing. My biological dad didn't really want to have me, but she was brave and bold, as only a young mum can be, and said, I can't look after this baby, but you know what? I'm going to give it a chance at life. And who knows, that's an awesome decision to make. And so she gave birth to me at the hospital and then left immediately. And so I was in the hospital. I don't remember this. I was told this. And then a lady called Mary took me in for 1 year. She was a lady in Hackney. That was the town it was in outside of London. And she would look after babies in Hackney that had been abandoned because there were so many. There were so many babies left in Hackney General Hospital. And so she took me in for a year, which was crazy. And I just love that. I always tell my wife, I'm like, babe, isn't that a beautiful typology? And I was like, what? I was like, well, you know, there was no room for me. And a lady called Mary raised me. And she goes, are you comparing yourself to Christ? I'm like, if the shoe fits, you know? I'm just, if the shoe fits. Then I went into a foster home, and I think we've got a photo of me in the foster home. It's me sitting on that guy's lap and the two ladies. I think, yeah, there it is. So that's me at a foster home in Hackney. So just doing my thing. Look at that fit, the sneakers, the red socks, man. That's my foster mum there. Her name was Cheryl, and that was one of my foster sisters who needs a touch of God. And so, praise the Lord. So that was where I used to hang out. That was my area. And we, I think there's a, you can just, if you want, sort of cycle through if you want to. Actually, no, just stay on that one. I disagree with myself. Stay on that one. So I lived in this place, and Hackney is rough. Hackney is full on. Okay, so we would get broken into about two or three times a year. And there was like a procedure. We all knew it. I was there till I was about three. And like, you'd just stop. You'd let them take the stuff. They'd go. The police would come, file a report. It was government funded. You'd get a new little TV. You'd get a whatever. So it was pretty rough. The backyard was probably from here to Pastor Rob away. And I'm not kidding, I couldn't find this photo, but I have a photo of the backyard. That we had a duck called Donald. It's very random, my childhood. Probably explains a lot. And there was broken bricks and barbed wire at the back because they couldn't build a fence. So they needed something to stop the kids escaping the foster home. So I thought, let's put broken bricks and barbed wire down. We love you, Cheryl. So this was my life. But I'll be honest, it wasn't a bad existence. Cheryl was a very kind foster mum. She was great at what she did. There was about 13 kids in the home. She fed us. She looked after us. There was poverty, but there was also joy, right? And so this was my childhood. And then one day, if we could go to the photo of me in the pram with the lady looking at me, Cheryl said, Freddie, yeah, that'll do. Cheryl said, Freddie, look at me in that hat, man. Just killing the game early. You know what I mean? And so Cheryl goes, tomorrow there's a couple coming and they're going to take you on a trial day. Okay? Now they don't do trial days anymore because they found out that they had negative psychological ramifications. So a trial day is kind of like, you know, ladies, you go to the shops and you, or guys, doesn't matter, and you go to a, you know, reputable outlet, Super A or something, and you're like, I want to get some jeans. So you go and you try the jeans on, and in the mirror, you feel like, you're like, this is good. Now, I look good. You know, your friend's with you like, babe, does this look good? She's like, yeah, it looks great. Derek's going to love them, you know? And so you have them on, and ladies, you go home, or guys, doesn't matter who, you go home, and you're like, you're feeling so good. You're like, oh, got myself some new high-waisted jeans, feeling so great. And then you put them on, and you're like, my friend is a liar. I look terrible. Guys, we do this as well. We just pretend we don't care. You know, we go put a shirt on and we're like, Derek, does this look good, bro? Like, I don't care, but like, how do I, yeah, and he's like, bro, I don't care either, but Tiffany's gonna love it, you know? But then you go home, it doesn't fit. So in 1992, you should be able to do this with kids. You have a trial date, if it didn't work out, you could be like, that didn't fit, I'm putting it back, you know? So there's high pressure, you know what I mean? So the next day I hear like at 10 a.m. and me and Cheryl go downstairs and open the door, and there's this man and woman standing there. And this guy has got this bright red hair and these like wireframe glasses before they were cool. And the lady had Nike gear on and some Nike shoes with curly laces. I remember the first thing I said was, I like your shoes. I know, very cute. So then they took me out for the day. They took me to Hyde Park, which is a big park. And then they drove me to their house and we drove to Cheam. And you need to understand there's a big difference between Hackney and Cheam. So Hackney is like what's called Cockney, which is like a bit rough and ready. You know, people talk like this, mate. Like, and if you look at anyone the wrong way, like, you're right, mate, you want to get stabbed. Like, that's the feeling. When you go to Cheam, it's very different. When you go to Cheam, everyone talks like this and works in banking or investments, and they have tea and crumpets and they're very happy with their life. You know, that's the thing. So we got to the house. We get there, we go inside, and I am blown away. We pull into this thing I'd never seen before. It's like, what's this? Like, it's a driveway. It's like, cool. Didn't have them in Hackney. Go inside the house, and there was a house on top of the house. I was like, why? What's happening? They're like, it's a two-story house. I'm like, whoa. They like take me to the kitchen. They open this room. There's all this food in there. I'm like, who lives in there? They're like, that's the pantry. I'm like, wow, your garlic has better accommodation than I do. Because I was sharing a room with five sisters, foster sisters. So we're going around, they take me out the back. At the time, this guy was a chef, and so there's like herbs and vines. I'm like, I'm in Narnia. Like, I'm just expecting Mr. Tomness to come out. Like, I'm like, this is awesome. But as the day went on, I was like, man, I want to live here. This is awesome. I loved Hackney up until that day. Hackney was my place. I had my sisters, I had my duck, I had baked beans and I had Ribena. That's all you need in life. But then I went to Cheam and I started feeling the spirit of adoption coming on me. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And they were talking and they were like praying for me. I didn't know what that was. Like, and they prayed together that the paperwork would go through. And I went back to Hackney at the end of that day and I was in my foster room on my mattress. My sisters were playing with troll dolls. I think my sister there had a troll doll. And playing Spice Girls, and I'm lying there, and I'm like, I want to go to Cheam. What happened? Because I loved Hackney up until that point. But what happened was I got shown a better way of living. What happened was I was living one way and it seemed fine, seemed great, was passable, seemed normal. But then I was introduced to a new normal. See, friend, this is why we do church. This is why we have connect groups. This is why we have youth ministries. It's not because we want to run another program. It's because we want to introduce Mackay to a better way of living. You see, our cities and our regions are living in a metaphorical Hackney. They're living in a place that might not be the worst, but it's not God's best. You know what's even sadder? Is many Christians are not living in the location that God has made for them. Let's not be the Israelites. Let's not walk around the desert for 40 years. Tied up in bondage, unforgiveness, bitterness, addiction. When God's saying, hey, cross the Jordan. There's a promised land for you. I believe one of the biggest resurgence we're gonna see across our nation in churches is high levels of commitment and high levels of tithing. Because where your money is, that's where your heart is. And so if the money's big, it means that people's hearts are big for the house of God. It's not about money, but if he's got your money, he's got your heart. And when you're in the house every week, it means that there's an intentionality and a commitment. I don't want to preach about eschatology this morning, but friend, I don't think we're in the, it said in the word, it says that in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. I don't think we're in the last day, but I think we're in the last days. Oh, no, it's not fun preaching, is it? Yeah, no one gets pumped when you start talking about that sort of thing. But we as a church, if we don't take it serious, if we don't be our best selves, if we don't lean into God, if we don't let him transform us, how the heck are we going to transform Mackay? It just won't happen. And it's just you being you. You don't have to be anything you're not. You might be a single mom, you might be a doctor, you might be in ministry, you might be studying, you might be in youth. There's so many stories. But if you let God lead you, friend, if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, God, what do you want me to do today? Pastor Rob was talking about it. When you wake up, thank you, God. When you wake up, good morning, Holy Spirit. Great book. When you wake up, God, what do you have for me today? Come on, we need to move from Hackney to Cheam. And then we need to move our cities from the metaphorical Hackney to Cheam. There's a better way of living. Amen? There's a better way of living. Love lifts us up where we belong. We're going to pray for some people at the end of this. I believe there's some people in this place, and I feel this in the spirit. You're just in this holding pattern. You're not sinning. You're not doing anything wrong. And sometimes in church, we get very angry at, like, as we should, cancer, you know, sickness, pestilence, infertility. But can I tell you, we need to get mad at the mundane holding patterns of life. We need to break that thing, man. Come on, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether we've got young families or what's going on, we can all be a beacon for Christ in our sphere, in our place of influence. No matter who we are or where we are. If we go back quickly to the story that we were reading before, Genesis 15. Let's go through the story again and see what we can grab from Genesis 15 to encourage us this morning. The first thing I want to look at is how the passage starts, right? It says, after these things. I'm sure we all know this. It's the morning service. But when we read scripture, we can't just read it in a vacuum. We have to understand the literary context of what's going on. We have to know what's going on before what we've read and after what we've read to paint a picture. There's nothing wrong with reading plans, but I do encourage our young adults and youth at our church, don't read Corinthians just one little verse at a time, because it's actually a letter. So you need to read it all. So after these things, what was this after? This was after 15 to 20 years of seemingly unfulfilled promises in Abram's life. This was after, remember a couple of chapters before, God took him up to the hill at Shechem and said, look to the east, south, west, as far as your eye can see, I'll give it to you. You're going to be a father of nations. A lot of people think that's the first time Abram was called father of nations. He was called it in Genesis 12, which is about 15 years earlier. And he's wanting to have a kid. Man, can anyone else relate to that? If I get one more prophetic word, I'm going to scream. Because the prophetic word from 10 years ago hasn't even happened. Oh, it's great. We had so-and-so through. We had Tim Hall through, we had Faylene Sparks through. They've all prophesied over me, my youth leaders, and now I'm out of youth. People have prayed over me, but God, it hasn't happened yet. I called someone forward at a conference once and I said, I've got a word for you. And she said, I don't want it. I thought, this is awkward. It's a great church. It was at a great church too. Inspire Church in Sydney. And she said, I don't want it. And so I like quickly put the mic away. I'm like, why? She said, I've had so many words about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And then she began to tell me this horror story about cancer ripping through her family, about losing things, about going bankrupt, about abuse, about all this stuff. And she started to tear up and she said, I can't take another unfulfilled word. And I didn't know what to do. So I just did what I do when I didn't know what to do. I said, well, just lift your hands together. In the name of Jesus, compressed it. We laid hands. She started convulsing and shaking and the peace of God came on her. But who can relate to that, man? It's like, this is where Abram's at, right? Now, I encourage you, if the word of the Lord comes to you, don't get sassy with the Lord. But Abram gets a bit sassy. He's like, what good are all these things? And I love this because it's nighttime, so we can assume that Abram's in a tent. Remember, the sermon's called The Trouble with Tents. Now, we don't live in tents today, unless you go camping, in which case I'll pray for you afterwards. But the tent can represent our thinking, our mind. It's a limited space. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing, ing, continuously, renewing of your mind. So while we might not need to bust out of a literal tent, I believe that all of us daily need to break out of wrong thinking and wrong patterns. And so it says that God, I love this, God comes down into Abram's situation and into his circumstance. And he says to Abram, hey, let's go outside. Why? Because the tent doesn't fit, doesn't work. It's not the correct fit for what I have for you, Abram. You know, we have you're in Queensland. We have a theme park in Gold Coast called Wet and Wild. You guys know that? Yeah. And so it's a fun place. Haven't been there in a long time. I'm too old, but it's fun. But when I was in year 12, the boys called me and we were on gap week because we didn't have exams. They said, Freddie, we're going to Wet and Wild. We'll pick you up in the morning. One of the guys who got their P's, we're going to Wet and Wild. I was like, yes, I love that place. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so good. I'm going to find a girlfriend. I'm so pumped. And so I slept in because year 12 guy. And they text me like, we're here, come on, we're gonna go. And I couldn't find my swimmers anywhere. I had these like quarter length jean things on. And I did what any reasonable 17 year old guy does in that situation. I ran to the kitchen and said, Mom, I need some scissors. She gave me some scissors and I cut my jeans into jorts, okay? Jorts, no, it's a real thing, okay? I'm a fashion icon. And so I'm wearing these jorts and I'm wearing a pink cotton on singlet, okay? I was ready to find a girl. And so we went to Wet n Wild and we are running around all day. Now, I've got to be careful, Pastor Rob, I don't want to be crass in the house of God, but for you to understand this, I don't know how to better explain this, just let you know that I have quite girthy thighs, okay? And I've got a bit in the back as well, all right? I'm a bit of a Kim Kardashian, all right? And so, no, I'm just, okay? It's just how I'm built. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, I'm at Wet n Wild and we're swimming and we're going on these slides and I am just running around all day. Now you have to understand my thighs often fellowship, okay? So they're often talking to each other. My thighs are a little bit like the two intercessory ladies that are in their 80s at the back of the church. They will just, that's what happens when, you know, Mary and Helen. That's what happens when I walk, Mary, Helen, Mary, Helen, Mary, Helen, you know? So I'm doing this all day at Wet n Wild, just going for it. And about 3 p.m. rolls around and I feel this intense pain coming from my thighs. And I think to myself, I better check out what's going on because I could start a fire with these bad boys. So I go to the men's bathroom at Wet n Wild and I have a look and no preacher's exaggeration, I have blood coming down both sides, okay? I bare grilled it, okay? If I'm ever in the wilderness, just rub my thighs together, we'll start a fire, it'll be awesome. So I'm going, oh my gosh. And so I had to go to the souvenir shop and spend like $50, which when you're in year 12 is all the money you've earned at Pizza Hut, and buy some new togs. But for the rest of the day, I was just in pain. I got home, my dad was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I don't want to talk about it. I went to bed. What's my point? That those pants were wrong. They were wrong for the occasion. They didn't fit me and they caused me damage. Friend, our thinking and our paradigms, if it is wrong, it won't fit us, it's not the right occasion, and it'll cause us damage. If I can say this in humility, your addiction, to websites that you shouldn't be looking at. It's not right for you. It doesn't fit. It's going to cause you damage. Anxiety and depression, even though it's not your fault and we want to see you freed, it's not right for you. It needs to change because we don't want it to cause you damage. There's things in our life and world. Can I tell you, I'm getting excited. We need to start putting a flag in the territory that Jesus has won in our life. Okay, he didn't go to the cross and win us a partial victory. He went to the cross and freed us. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're allowed to get a bit mad at the devil and say, hey, devil, this far and no further. Stop messing with my family. Stop messing with my marriage. Stop messing with my kids. My kids will come back into the house of God. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We will see a revival. COVID can get back to hell. I'm telling you, we need to start declaring the things of God. Start believing it, man. He's faithful. He's good. He's here. All right, let's go back to Abram. So Abram is upset and God is taking him outside. So he goes outside. And God's so funny, man. I think God's got the biggest sense of humor. God goes, see the stars? Abram was probably like, yeah. Count them. I'm a literalist, so I would have been like, yes, sir. One, two, three. God damn it. One, two, three. Jax, if you come join me on the keys, that'll be awesome. What's God doing? Is he just playing a joke? Is he just being silly? No, no, he's God Almighty. He's lifting Abram's perspective. What does the psalmist say? I look to the mountain, that's where my help comes from. He's going, hey, Abram, you're sitting here being a Debbie Downer because you think I haven't come through. Do you want to just take a quick look? Friend, can I tell you something? In grace and truth, there is nothing outside of the jurisdiction of God. There is nothing. You might be like, oh, it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. That's not for us to worry about. He put the planets in the sky. He created stars. He created me and you. He created the world. I definitely love the whole Jesus is my best friend thing, but don't forget, He's powerful. He's powerful. There's times in the presence of God where I feel warm and I feel safe. There's times in the presence of God where I fall to my knees and I'm like, you are here. I was, it's a side thing, but I was in my study preparing a sermon on eternity, which is something my dad, don't you love senior pastors? My dad goes, Fred, I want you to speak on heaven and hell in a couple of weeks. I said, can I just focus on heaven? He's like, I want you to mostly focus on hell. I was like, oh, good. No, that's going to go down really well. Because our church, and I'm not saying this to be a legend, but our church is in a great season at the moment. It's never been so big. So many people are coming in. And my dad, wisely, is like, well, they need to know about eternity. We're not just all about faith and praise. We're also about... So, yeah, well, you can say amen, but you don't have to preach to 500 people about it. So anyway, I was preparing in my study, and I felt, man, I felt the presence of God fall in my study. And I felt the fear of the Lord for the first time in a while. He's powerful, friend. What's my point? He's more than able to heal you. He's more than able to bring your kid back into the house. He is more than able to restore your marriage. But the thing that's a bit annoying is he operates on his timeline. I'm sure Abram and Sarah would have been happier if they fell pregnant when they were 50. Because it says, doesn't it, in the word, it says, and they were old. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. God knew what he wanted to do. 3 points as we finish. It's a good mustache, Sark. I was thinking about doing one, but I'm not at the weight I want, and so my chin gets exposed. And so I'm going to lose a bit of weight, and then I'll do the mo.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Deal.
Deal, yeah. Sounds good. Oh, hey, guys. Sorry, I just have a chat with Jack. 3 points. And we're going to finish and we're going to pray. And I want to be sensitive of time. Obviously, when we're praying, we'll probably release the service and all that. But 3 points, just stay with me. I'm almost done. Number one, it's time to get out of the tent. Come on, what paradigm have you been stuck in? It's good to think about it because often we're in paradigms we don't even know. You might have a paradigm of, I don't even know why we do church, and you don't even know it, but your behavior will reveal your thoughts. You should come once a month. You might have unforgiveness towards someone in your family. You might not have said it out loud, but your behavior will show it. It might be as small as you don't believe that we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Can I tell you, I'm a bit of an idiot. I've got a bunch of things wrong with me. I'm nothing special at all. But the one thing I'll give to myself is I dare to believe the book. Being a young preacher, I'm not as young now, I'm turning 30 next year. So old, I know. But I've been preaching for 10 years now. And can I tell you, coming up as a preacher in Australia is a little bit tough because we've got this thing called tall poppy syndrome. So everyone feels the need to cut you down. I'm not talking about fathers or mothers in the faith who give you correction and guidance. I'm talking about the prodigal older brother, right? Who just gives you grief for no reason. And I used to find it so tough. And I remember one time I went to Dad, I was all upset because someone I respected in a movement said, oh, that Freddie, you know, I was like 21, but he's like, he's all right. He's very passionate, but he'll learn one day. It's not all about faith and miracles. And can I tell you? Hope I never do. Hasn't left 11 years in. Can I tell you? Dare to dream, church. Dare to believe for the more of God in your life and in your world. Not believing God or having faith, it's not humility. Humility is not my will and not my logic, but God, yours be done. God, you're gonna impact this city. God, you're gonna impact this region. And can I tell you, I'd rather be outside counting than inside doubting any day. Get me out of that tent. Get you out of that tent. The God doesn't need people stuck in a tent trying to be humble. He needs people bold enough who might fall over a few times, who might miscount a few times, but outside, under the stars of God, believing that He's good, believing for Him to move. It's not just this front row's job to intercede for Mackay. It's all of our job. Come on, I believe we're going to see people flooding into the church. Two more points, stay with me. Two, God knows the name and number of the stars. He hasn't forgotten yours. Sometimes we're chasing a word, aren't we? Sometimes we're chasing for a pastor or a leader or someone at our job or our office to recognize us and notify us. I'm a young extrovert. I've been there. I remember every time Tim Hall would come to the INC church I was a part of growing up, I'd sort of wear bright colors so he would see me. And he never did. And then I backslid. I backslid, but then I still came to a conference anyway. And I was like up the back. And that was the time he was like, Brother Beetle, would you come? And I was like, what? And I got laid under the power. And that's great. We love it when people give us a word. But friend, the creator of heaven and earth knows your name, knows your story, knows your calling. In Jeremiah, it says, before you were even born, I had ordained you and called you as a prophet to the nations. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. You don't need a word from a prophet. You've got a word right here. You've got the word of God and you've got the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You don't need to wait to start witnessing at your workplace. You don't need to wait to start. Come on, man. I'm telling you, I believe the church. I know I'm waffling on about this point, but the church we are in important days. We are in important days. Four songs and a 30-minute sermon will not do it. We need a move of God. We need a revival. And a revival is not just a big conference. A revival is when me, Jacques, everyone, we get on our knees every morning and we say, God, thank you for today. Thank you that you're gonna move. Thank you that your spirit's coming with me to work. It's coming with me to Coles. It's going with me to school. It's coming with me to uni. God knows the name and number of stars. Last point, and band, you can join me. Oh, you have appeared by God's grace already. Number three, the limitless sky is our portion. Believing in God and dreaming with God is one of the most lost things in the church, because we've got churches of hundreds of people that come to a service and they don't realize that it's great to listen to the preacher, but the preacher is meant to throw a log on your fire that's already there. You're not meant to, we don't come to church to start our fire. We come to church to be stoked and to have Pastor Rob Booth Jones pour some petroleum on that thing. But we got so many Christians coming to church as dead coals. Friend, nothing will replace reading your Bible and praying at home. Nothing. Nothing will replace speaking in tongues at home. Nothing. I know it's not revelatory, but I go to churches all over Australia and I talk to the leadership and I can tell that 90% of the people are coming to church, but they're living life. It says in the Word of God that this life is but a vapor. What could you and God do together? What could you do together? A couple of testimonies and I'll finish. Now, I've told a couple of these at Extreme, but I'm going to tell them again. And if you're at Extreme, act really inspired. Probably one of my favorite testimonies ever is I was at City Point Church ministering there and loved that church, great house of faith. And I was speaking on Jesus is our healer. I did a sermon and we had a full altar call and we were praying. And there's people with sore ankles and headaches and toothaches and, you know, minor stuff. I get to this girl and she was so tiny. She was like this tall and she had two Converse on. And one of the Converse was like a platform Converse. And I said, how are you? And you can immediately tell when someone's not a super, like been at church a lot, because church people know the thing. They like close their eyes, they hold their hands out. You know, they start wobbling before you even pray for them. It's awesome. This girl was like, hello. I was like, hi, darling. She's like, good. I was like, great. She's like, can you bless me? I was like, yeah, sure. What's going on? She's like, well, you said that Jesus is the healer. And she like waited for me to confirm it. I was like, yes. She's like, and you said he can heal anything. I was like, yeah, he absolutely can. I'm expecting a headache or whatever. She's like, that's so cool because this leg is like 4 inches shorter than this leg because of a thing that happened when I was in the womb. And so can Jesus heal that? I was like, yes. That's nerve-wracking, man. I'm not like that guy. I'm not like Todd White or Joel Ramsey. I'm like the guy that prays for your headache after you've had 2 Panadol and a liter of water. And I'm like, oh, God moved. Wow. Bless you, bro. It's not me. It's him, you know. So I start praying for this girl. I'm like, Lord, I've never prayed for a leg. I was like, Lord, let her leg grow. Anyway, I thought, well, I better copy Todd White. I've never done this. So I sat her on the front row and like everyone's worshiping, but like 600 people are just watching what's going on. And I'm like, this sucks. Please do something. And so she takes her shoes off. And so we start praying and I feel this bubbling in my hand. And I look and her leg's growing. But I'm like pretty normal. So I'm like, nah. It's funny, isn't it? We preach about the megathos, kratos, dunamis power of God. We believe that Peter stepped out of a boat and took steps towards Jesus on water. We believe that he came back from the dead, but then he does what he said he would do. And we're like, signs and wonders are meant to be for the unbelievers, not for the preachers. But anyway, she stands up, same height, and goes, yay, Jesus, and walks off. I'm like in a catatonic state. I'm like, Chris, her legs, they grew. And Chris Hodgman's like, yeah, why didn't you do it? I'm like, shut up, it's not that easy. Like, her leg just grew. The night ends and this mum comes in. She goes, where's the preacher? I thought, oh, not copping that. There's nothing scarier than an angry youth mum, I'm telling you. Especially one that's not with the Lord yet. Where's the preacher? Chris Hodgman goes, him. Like, thanks, Chris. She comes up to me and she goes, excuse me, my daughter came to this youth rally thing. Love when they use the wrong terms. To listen to a talk with one leg shorter than the other. She's just gotten into our car and told me that Jesus blessed her leg. I didn't believe it. I told her to take her shoes off. She took her shoes off. Her legs are the same size. I'm thinking, you're welcome. I don't... And I'm fumbling. I'm like, yeah, well. And she goes, yeah, sorry about my tone. I love this. I feel like every mum will get this. She goes, it's just a lot to process on a Friday night, and walks out. Come on, if he can use me, he can use you. If he can heal a leg, he can heal your heart. He can change it from the inside out. Why don't we stand in the house of God this morning? Come on, from the front to the back. Come on, the limitless sky is your portion. Let's start believing again. Let's get out of the tent. Let's be in church every Sunday. Let's give to the house. Let's invite our friends. Let's encourage our pastors. Let's believe that the best is yet to come. And I'm going to accidentally do a Brian Houston accent if I keep preaching. Let's lift our hands to heaven all across this place. Come on, we're gonna sing something for a minute or two. And what I want to do, I don't think on a Sunday morning I need to work you up into some sort of level of faith. Come on, we're mature believers. So when we sing, if you need anything in this place, I want you to come to the front. You might just need an infilling. You might need encouragement. You might need healing. You might need just a touch of God. You might not have your heavenly language. I want you to come. But just before we do that, I just want to check that everyone here knows Jesus. We don't want a service to go past without just making sure. So if everyone would close their eyes and bow their heads just quickly. I just want to check if, and I'm not saying, do you attend church sometimes or is your mum a Christian? I'm saying, do you know God? Are you a friend of God? We just want to make sure here at MCF that if you're not, you have an opportunity to respond. So if that's you and you're like, I want to respond to that, or if you've walked away from the Lord, on the count of three, all I want you to do, I'm not going to get you up the front, I just want you to give me a wave. Just give me a wave and pop your hand back down. One, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your spirit to move. Two, we thank you, Lord, that you said right now is the time of salvation. Three, if that's you, just give me a wave. Just give me a wave. Thank you, I see that hand. Just give me a wave if that's you. Come on, we want to have blessed assurance. We want to know that we know. One more moment. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, one coming to the Lord is brilliant. Oh, two, I see that hand. Thank you. Well, come on, why don't we celebrate that? Two people saying yes to Jesus. Isn't that great? Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to worship. Let's lift our hands to heaven again. We're going to worship. And if you have any need in this place, if you need hands laid on you, I want to encourage you. Don't wait. Don't be timid. Just come. If you're next to someone, your husband, your wife, a friend, say, hey, I'll go with you. But as Jack and the team leads us for a minute in worship, I want you to respond and come. People are going to get healed this morning. People are going to speak in their heavenly language. Come on, let's worship.